Hi, my name's Alan Smith, and this is an Oslo webcast which is hosted on the bloggersguide.net website. The webcast is going to look at data modelling in the M modelling language. We're going to look at some very simple database modelling, just basically the simplest model that you can generate with M. So it's going to be level 200, it's going to be fairly basic. We're going to look at M very, very briefly, look at IntelliPad, and then look at working with the actual event data modelling in M. We're going to look at generating types and extents. The tools that I'm working with are present in the Oslo SDK. I'm actually working with the CSD image that was distributed at PDC. But if you do not have access to that image there, you can actually download the Oslo SDK and run through these samples. You'll need to have the repository database installed, which is the database which is going to be storing the models in. IntelliPad, which is the text editor that we're working with, it's quite a powerful text editor that's built. It has parsing and it understands the M language. It's also got something called dynamic parsing, which means as you type and modify your input, you see the outputs being generated dynamically. So it's a great tool for learning the M modeling language. It can be very productive when you're learning it. And then we're going to be working with M, which is a text-based declarative data modeling language, which is aimed at curly brace programmers. So anybody who's worked with Java or C++ or C# is going to find that M is a very intuitive language to learn. We've also got a language called MG, which is a language for defining domain-specific languages. I'm not going to cover MG, that's quite a bit advanced, so I'll save that for its own webcast. The image that I'm working in is the CSD image that was distributed at PDC. And you can either use this image, or if you haven't got access to this, you can download the Oslo SDK, install that on a machine. You'll need SQL Server 2008 to make that install. So I'm going to start the IntelliPad, which is the text editor tool that is shipped with the SDK. And it's basically going to open and generate a new file for me. The first thing I'm going to do is to do a save as, and save this file as timereport.m. And this will cause the editor to change from standard mode into M mode, which means it's parsing M language. And we'll get syntax highlighting and so on. So the first thing I'm going to do is to generate a module here. And I'm just going to switch onto the Swedish keyboard here. And the module is a bit like a namespace in .NET. And I'm going to call this one bloggers guides.timereport. And when you're actually generating the data, this will be the actual schema that you're generating in the SQL Server database. Okay, the first thing we're going to need is to be a type, and I'm going to start off with a type which is called project. And very much like when we're declaring a type in a regular programming language, we can actually start to generate the data members. So the first thing we're going to set to a project is that it actually has a name here. And that's going to be a data type text. Now what we're going to do is to go into the M mode, and we've got a couple of options. We've got rich SQL and we've got reach SQL. Rich SQL is content for the repository database, which will sort of generate a more complex form of SQL. Reach SQL is a simpler form of SQL, and I'm going to select that so we can actually see the SQL is going to be generated for this. And the first thing we're getting here is an error saying that unable to generate SQL because there are no computed values or extents defined. So the next thing I'm going to have to do is to generate an extent. Now if I type in projects here, that's going to be the name of my extent. And projects is going to be one or more project, zero or more projects. So if I do project dot star like this, we see that instantly the SQL changes and it gives us some SQL that represents the actual model that we're modeling here. I really like the dynamic parsing feature that we've got in IntelliPad. It's fantastic for just learning how the language works, really, really quick for prototyping, because you can see the effects of modifying your code here instantly as you're working here. So what we've got is some actual code here to start a transaction, commit a transaction, and then within there we've got the option here to actually create the schema here, and that is from the actual module name bloggersguides.timereport. That's going to generate a SQL in SQL Server 2008. And then we've got the create table structure here, and it's going to be within that schema we're generating a table called projects, and that matches up to the extent that we've defined projects there. And then we've got one column in this table, which is the name column, which comes from here. And because I've specified that the data type is text, we've got nvar char max here, and it's not allowing us to place any null values in there. Now we can start to make some modifications of this. Maybe I need a bit more information than name. I'm also going to need a description. So if I put in the description there, you can see that we've now got two columns in the table, description and varchar not null. And you can see that the actual order here is alphabetic rather than in the order that I've specified here. Very much like when you're working with data contracts in WCF, it will actually generate these in the actual alphabetic order here. Now, typically when we generate a table in SQL Server, we want to have some primary key that identifies that table. And I could argue that the actual name of the project is going to be a primary key. But the actual best practices for working when you're working with a repository is to choose an integer field which has the name of ID. So I'm going to specify this as being an integer 32 data type. You'll notice that the data types in the M modeling language are different from they are in SQL and different from they are in .NET. So what they've done is they've chosen sort of an independent typing language. And dependent on the language that you're generating, if you're generating SQL, you will use the SQL int data type that does correspond to a 32-bit integer there. So that's my ID here, but we've not actually specified that this is a primary key. It's just basically a column within that table. So here I need to specify that where the where identity is ID. I think I maybe errored out on the syntax there. That's it, yeah, where identity ID. So what I've actually specified here is that we're going to be identifying the actual projects by the project ID. And now you can see it's added in this actual constraint. The primary key on the projects table is going to be the ID column there. Now when I start inserting these projects, I don't want to have to actually generate the IDs manually, so I'm going to use the auto number option here. And we're going to get this modified again. You can see that the ID is integer, and we've also got the actual value identity here. Now this is one thing that will confuse you if you've worked with SQL a lot and you're starting to work with M. The identity here is not the same as the identity here. In SQL, an identity is something that will auto-increment here, so it will be like 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 as I start inserting my projects into that table. The identity that we've got in the actual type in M is basically setting this to be a primary key here. So just be aware that they're using the word identity in different contexts there. So what I'm going to do now is just modify the data description to generate some restrictions on this data. At the moment the name is an nvar char max, and we may want to actually limit the name to a certain number of characters. So in the name field I'm going to specify where the actual value.count is less than or equal to 100. And that's modified that type there. We've got the name being a varchar 100 instead of a varchar max. Another thing, not all of the projects may have descriptions here, and you can see that the description is specified as being not null, meaning I have to specify a description there. And if I place a question mark after the text there, you can see that it's changed and the description does allow null characters there. So placing a question mark means we do not have to have that, that value present there. The next thing we may want to do is to add some people who can actually work on this project. So I'm going to define another type within my project and another extent here. So the new type is going to be an employee. And I'm going to copy paste the IDs here. So we're going to have an ID which is going to be an integer 32. And I'm going to sort of paste on there that the actual constraint there is going to be where the identity is the ID. And then generate an extent of that. So I'm going to have employees colon employee star. And you can see here we've got the actual employees table. I need to add some more information about the employee here, so I'm going to have first name is text, where do the same thing for last now. So very quickly, just by making those, you can see that we've got, just by adding those, you can see that we've got another type there in the table there. I could actually populate these and add things like email address, but I'm going to keep these very simple, so the code is very simple there. So right now, these two types are completely independent of each other. And what I'm going to do is to show you how we can actually make relations between the types. Very often when we're working with databases, we want items related to each other. Now, each project is going to have a manager. And the manager is going to be present in the actual company. They're going to be one of the employees. So the actual data type for the manager is going to be employee. Now when I specify that, I'm getting an error in SQL, and we can go along here and look at the actual errors here. And it's giving us, basically talking about the field of type entity requires a membership constraint. We have to specify the in or this operator here. So it's giving us a compilation error, basically because it doesn't know how to actually relate the actual projects across to the employees there. It doesn't know how to make this link. So now when I've actually defined my extent here, I'm saying that the projects is going to be a number of projects, zero or more projects. I can actually add a constraint here and say where the item dot, and we get some fairly basic intelligence here. The item dot manager is going to be in the employees. So it's going to be present in the employees extent. Now that's added my relationship for me in the database. We can go and look at the actual code that we're generating here. And you can see that we've got our table here for the employees. We've got our table here for our projects with the ID, description, manager and name. A couple of constraints. We've got the first constraint. This is the primary key constraint on the ID column. But we've also got this foreign key constraint here saying that the actual time report employees is basically a constraint. So we've got that link between the two tables there. So when I actually add a manager to this project, it's going to be the actual ID of the actual employee table. And you can see that in here we've got the actual manager column being an integer, which is not null. And that's going to be a reference to the appropriate manager in that table there. Okay, so we've got our project, and we've got our employees, and we've got the actual manager of the project that we can define. Now each project that we've got present that we're running is going to have an actual team associated with that project, which is going to be a number of these employees. Now when we set the project and giving the project a manager, we're doing a sort of one-to-many relationship. You can have an employee that is a member of several different project teams there. But now when we're working with the actual team on a project, we're going to have a many-to-many relationship. We've got maybe 10 employees in our company, we're maybe running 3 projects, and it is possible that one of the employees can be a team member of several different projects. Maybe they're working on test on all 3 of the projects. So we need to model this many-to-many relationship. So what I'm going to do is to generate a new type, which is going to be team members for the actual project teams. And we're going to have 2 items present in there. We're going to have the project, which is going to be project, and the member of that team, which is going to be an employee there. I'm going to generate an extent of this. So this would be actually the team member type. Sorry there. So each team member is going to be our team members. Is going to be a multiple of the team member type there. And again, we're getting some errors, quite a few errors this time, because we are making these references to other tables, but we're not actually defining how those references are going to be generated here. So I'm going to actually drop on the constraints to the team members extent, and I'm going to say where the item.project is in projects. And also, item.member is in employees. And that's created the SQL for us, very simple M there, generating this sort of amount of SQL. And you can see here that when we've got the actual table here that we've generated, the actual team members table, it's got these actual constraints. It's got two foreign key constraints, one out to the projects table and one out to the employees table there. Now you can see the advantages of working with M. I've just basically generated something that's fairly simple here, just a few lines of code, and it's resulted in some quite complex T-SQL that has been generated. It's much easier to understand what's going on with your data model when you're working in M than when you are working with the T-SQL. So one of the things that's been said about the M modeling language, people say that M is a language for defining modeling content for the repository database. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I could just generate any kind of regular database that is going to store my time reporting artifacts. And this is what I'll do in the next section. I'll take this SQL and use it to create a database. Okay, so I'm going to start up SQL Server Management Studio here and just generate a new database that's going to be the time reporting table. And you can actually use the M compiler to go through and compile this and import it into a database using the compiler. But I'm going to do this the easy way. I'm just going to copy-paste what's been generated here and push it into the database query window here. So I'm going to connect here to the database engine. Drop on a new database, which I'm going to call Time Report. I've got the window's a bit small here, so I'm going to guess that, oh yeah, that's the OK button there. So that's generated my database for me there. So going down to the time report, I'm going to drop on a new query window onto that. And within that query window, I'm just going to go back to IntelliPad and actually copy the output that IntelliPad has generated here. Go into SQL and just do a paste operation there. And just execute this. So the command's completed successfully. I can actually close this window here. Don't need to save changes there. Now, in the time report, you can see that we've got a set of tables here. We've got the employees, the projects, and the team members there. And just to check if it has generated the relationships correctly, I'm just going to stick a quick database diagram on this table. And I'm going to select all three of these tables. Add them onto the database diagram. And here you can see that just with these three extents I've generated, the tables have been generated correctly, and the actual relationships between those tables have been generated. So using M, you can use the M modeling language in this way if you want to just generate a model of a database. I tend to work with programming a lot. I work with C Sharp a lot, so I find this the most natural way to actually describe my data models. The idea of M is that working, if you're a programmer, working with this type of code is certainly going to be much quicker than working with the actual T-SQL and with all the actual create table statements. Also, it's going to be faster than working in the actual diagramming mode here. The idea behind M is that when you're a developer, these types of graphical tools slow you down. So being able to actually script stuff in this type of a declarative language is going to be very useful. In the future, I expect to see M being used to generate more types of data. You know, you could generate a data contract, a WCF data contract, to actually represent these types. It's not present in the current build in Oslo, but I expect them to do a lot of work with improving this language here. In future webcasts, I'm going to look at some of the more advanced features of M. This is basically the simplest thing that you can do with M to model a database. And it is quite a powerful language. We can use it to generate additional things like views and generate more complex data types. Okay, so if you're if you've worked with programming before, you'll find that M is a very productive language to learn. It took me about probably about an hour to figure out what I was doing with the language, and then probably by the first day, I'd basically gone through all of the main features of M. So the SDK, here's a link to that. If you type in msdn.microsoft.com/Oslo, you'll get redirected to the homepage for Oslo. There is some good CHM documentation and some actual documents there that you can actually run through and learn the language. There's a sort of M overview and an M language specification. Experiment with a language. You've seen how when you're working in Telepad, you can actually type the code in, and instead of having to build and go through the build errors before you see the output there, you see the output being generated instantaneously. So it's really, really good to actually experiment with a language in Telepad and see what you can do with it. For the resources, the Blogger's Guide to Oslo and Connected Systems will start to include content on the M modelling language. It's only just been made public, so hopefully within the next couple of weeks there's going to be some good content in there. I'm also going to be putting up some Oslo and related webcasts on that site. The developer community is already started working with this language, and there's some great blog posts coming out, and also there's a good forum on the Oslo site if you want to go in there and ask questions and see what people are doing with that. The stuff is going to be hosted that I'm generating on the bloggersguide.net website. So good luck with them, and hopefully we'll see some great developments in this language over the next few months.